Parak Hey, Mishnah Zion. So we mentioned in the previous Mishnayos that when they would shech the Korban Pesach, they would do it in groups, and each group had a minimum of 30 people, right? So with that in mind, let's see the Mishnah. So Yotzakash Rishona, we had mentioned that the groups would be divided into three groups, let's say 10, 10, and 10, and then one would go in, they would do their procedure, like we had mentioned in the previous Mishnayos, and then they would leave. So Yotzakash Rishona, the first group would leave the Azara after the procedure that we mentioned in the previous Mishnayos, right? V'nifasakat Shniyos, and the second group would go into the Azara, and then they would do the procedure for the Korban Pesach. Yotzah Shniyah, then the second one would complete their procedure for the Korban Pesach. Nichlasah Shlishis, and the third one would go into the Azara. So a simple process. They couldn't all go in at the same time. They went in three groups of 10, one after the other. Kama'aseh Harishona, just like they were knowing in the sacrifice of the Korban Pesach of the first group, they did the same thing for the second group and the third group. They just repeated what the first ones did, the second group, and after they would leave, the third group. So pretty simple. Now, Karu Esahalel, Kol Ozozman, each time that they'd be shechting and sacrificing the Korban Pesach, the Levim would be reciting Halel. So, you know, each time for each group. And Im Gamru, what happens if the Levim would complete, let's just say there's a huge group, and the Levim completed, you know, singing Hallel, and they still didn't bring all the Korban Pesach, right? So then what do you do? So Shanu, the Levim would just go ahead and sing Hallel over a second time, it's not a problem. Vim, Shanu, and if they said Hallel over a second time, and they're still not done with their group, right? This is not talking about all three groups, this is, we're talking about each one individually. You've got one gigantic group, and it's the first of the three sets, right? And they're just going and going and going, they have many, many Korbanos. So then Shileshu, so then the Levim would go ahead and say Hallel a third time, and this would be applicable for each and every group, depending on how large or how small they were. They would keep on reciting Hallel until everything was done, even three times. Afapi Shalosh Shoshu Miyameyam, even though they never did a third time in their days, meaning meaning, they're saying over here that, you know, technically the Levim can go as far as three times repeating Halal. But they're saying that it never even happened. They say over here, even though they never even had three times in their days, they can go as far as 3 days. And the reason why it never happened is that even though if there was a big group of people, you know, bringing the carbon, the kahanim were so quick and so zariz, they were just very, very quick in the mitzvah. So they made sure that, you know, at the most, they were reading Hallel twice, not more than that. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mimeim, in the day, in those days, shall catch shlishis of the third group of this, of the three sets. They didn't even reach the Levim. La'ahav t'ki yishma Hashem. So Ahav t'ki yishma Hashem is a pasuk in Halal. And he says that me'olam la'ir l'kash lishis, the third group that went in, never happened that shigiyu b'halal, that the Levim even got up to the part of Halal where it says Ahav t'ki yishma Hashem as kol yitachadunai, even in the first time around. B'pnei she'am ha'mu'atin. Because the third group already, right, first of all, the Kohanim were very quick. Okay, and second of all, he says that the third group, right, in the first two groups, everyone's pushing to get in, comes around the third group, there's only very few people left. And plus the Kohanim, you know, operate very quickly. So there's two different points that we see over here. First of all, Levim technically could be repeating Halal over and over again as long as they are not done with the sacrificial service for the Korban Pesach, right, for each group. We said technically it can go up to three times, but the most it ever was ended up being two times. And Yehuda says that if you're looking at the third group in particular, so they didn't even finish the first time of Halal. Because the first group, they only got to this pasuk of Ahavti, which is, you know, in the middle of Halal. So in the third group, they wouldn't even finish the first Halal itself. Why? Because the third group was always a small group. Everyone was pushing for the first two groups, and came along the third group, they were just much smaller. So in that group, it went so quick that the Levim didn't even finish to say Halal, you know, one time around. And that concludes Mishnah Zion. Mishnah Chas. K'maaseyu, just like the actions and the procedure of the Korban Pesach b'chol that took place during the weekday when Erev Pesach fell out on a weekday, k'maaseyu b'Shabbos. So too, if Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, they would bring the Korban Pesach and do all of the avodos, all of the services, just like the weekday. Ella, with the exception, shakohanim medichet es hazara, that the kohanim they would, meaning they still rinsed the hazara, but shalokas son chachamim. Chachamim were not happy with it. Meaning, technically, the exception should have been they should have not have rinsed the Azara, but they did it anyway, and the Chachamim weren't happy with it. And they explain as follows. After the third group would complete the Korban Pesach, so they would rinse the Ritzpat Hazara, the floor of the Azara, from the stream. There was a stream of water that passed through the Azara, and then there was a neck of a hole in the wall where the water would leave, you know, and go out. Now, what they would do as a kohanim is that when they wanted to rinse the hazara, they would clog up this hole with like a cork, right? And the stream would not be able to pass through the exit, and it would just, you know, rise and rise and go over its banks, and then the water would get all clean, okay? Because it was made out of marble, it was made out of stone, I'm sorry, marble instead of stone, and it would get clean like that. And then after it would get all clean, they'd, you know, open up the hole again, and the water would just gush out, and all the blood would go out also. So even whenever Pesach would fall out on Shabbos, the Kohanim would do this, just like they would do it during the week. And the Chacham were not happy with it. Why not? Because the Chacham did not permit to wash the floor on Shabbos. Even though that Hadachah rinsing is only a Shavuos, it's only a Derabbanan. On a Torah level, you could rinse. And we said, if you remember in Erev, in Perek Yud, Mishnah Yud Aleph, we mentioned that there's no such thing as a shvus in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't place rabbinic restrictions in the Beis HaMikdash. But nevertheless, the Chacham weren't happy with it because not all rabbinic restrictions, not all shvusim are equal. Meaning we learned in Erevin that a shvus that's a tzricha, that's necessary, you need it, so that the rabbis, they matured it, they permit it even in the Beis HaMikdash. But a shvus which is not necessary, it's not needed, they didn't permit it. So they held that this is not necessary, and if it's not necessary, it shouldn't be a heter, and they weren't happy with what the Kohanim did. And the Rambam has a different approach. He says that no, if Erev Pesach would fall out on Shabbos, so then just like they cleaned the floor during the weekday, they clean it on Shabbos as well, and they rinse the floor, because there's no shvus in the Beis HaMikdash, even for something, even if it's not for the actual avoda, the issue of shvus, this concept of rabbinic decrees in the Beis HaMikdash is permissible. And the Rambam, was totally cool with what the Kohanim were doing. And he said it's fine, even if it's not really needed, for the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Kos, there was a cup, Hayimamali Midamata Ruvos. So there was a cup that the Kohen would take and fill it up from the blood that was on the floor before the water would come and rinse it. Sounds like this was like during the week or on Shabbos. Doesn't really matter. Excuse me. And Zurako Zurika Achaz, and they would do one spritch agab mizbeach onto the mizbeach. So what's going on over here? So the Yehuda says that the Kohanim were concerned. Let's just say, from one of the karbanos, the blood spilled onto the floor and never got spritched on the mizbeach. So in order to make sure that specific carbon would get its spritching, so the Kohanim would take a cup, they would just fill it up with, blood before they rinsed off the floor, and then they'd spritz it onto the Mizbeach, and then, their kavana was, their intent was that somewhere in this blood would be the blood of a carbon that didn't go on, that the blood did not go onto the Mizbeach. Even if it's a minute amount, it's somewhere in this mixture, and let it get its mitzvah of being spritzed on the Mizbeach, like as a safety net, like insurance. So that's what the Kohanim would do. It sounds like from the Kohanim that they knew that one of the karbanos, by mistake didn't get spritzed. Not that it was like a suffix that they were just doubtful, but they knew about it. If they were doubtful, I'm not sure whether they would, do this extra procedure. But certainly if they saw that one of the bloods didn't make it to the Mizbeach, they would do this procedure because they would say, hey, somewhere in this mixture, there's that blood that didn't get to the Mizbeach. And now when we throw it onto the Mizbeach with this cup, we'll get it there. So they had very good intent in mind. But the Chachamim did not agree. Los Kimu and Rabbi Yehuda, they did not agree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they explain the Gemara because once the blood is mixed up over here, you could have blood which is tamtis, like there's seeping blood and there's gushing blood, right? So if you have so many carbon pesachs, right? The seeping blood is let's see over here. Yeah, the Chum say that there's the seeping blood and there's the gushing blood. Gushing blood can be spritzed on the Mizbeach, not seeping blood. So they're going to say, what does this Tarubis help? What does this mixture help? At the end of the day, you have the seeping blood inside over there, which just, you know, totally destroys the mixture. And anything that we, even if you have gushing blood inside of it, the seeping blood passes it, and it doesn't help to spritz it onto the Mizbeach now. So they didn't like this. Rabbi Yehuda held that no, she'ain, that blood cannot be mevatel blood, and therefore as long as you do this, you know, process of filling up your cup with blood, you know, he doesn't care whether it's seeping, whether it's gushing, blood is blood, and you would, you know, kind of make up for this carbon that didn't get spritzed on the Mizbeach, and that's it. Okay, that concludes Mishnah Chas.